Good Tuesday. Today is December the 16th, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to continue with some information from the Northwest Ohio Biofuels Summit, taking an interesting look at the whole biofuels discussion from a retailer's perspective. We're also going to talk a little bit about New World screwworm and some things going on in the fight to stop that pest. We'll be back with that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I'm joined today by Jeff Erb, and Jeff is board president for the Ohio Energy and Convenience Association. Jeff, thanks so much for your time today. We are at the Northwest Ohio Biofuel Summit. Jeff, with the organization you represent, really the go-between between the ag commodity organizations that were here, the petroleum producers and manufacturers, and getting that product delivered to the consumers. And it was interesting. We heard a lot of discussion about the different types of fuel, demand, what's it take to get it there. Your organization, maybe with a little bit more neutral stance on it, talk about that.
Yeah, the association itself is neutral. However, of our over 6,000 stores, of which cover all of Ohio, many of those members are not neutral.
Okay.
So they are pro-biodiesel, they are pro-ethanol to different degrees. And then you've got guys on the other side of the spectrum who are really like, hey, don't rock the boat. We've got a good thing going. I don't want to spend any extra money on new dispensers or new infrastructure or that sort of thing. So as an association, we are neutral because we have members that really are very much pro bio ethanol, and then we have other members that are more a little bit more cautious.
Sure, that makes sense. Well, I know one thing we heard from the petroleum folks is the importance of having that certainty for those long-term investments that need made on the manufacturing side. I assume much the same as on the retail side.
Oh, for sure. If you want to change products, there are requirements. So much like cars have designations for flex fuel and such, same thing is true of our equipment. So our pumps, our dispensers, sometimes the piping that is used, it has to comply with whatever that product is. If it's old equipment, it could be an upgrade. It could be a lot of money.
That makes sense. Well, one neat thing probably is that your folks, members of your organization, constantly visiting and talking to the consumers, really doing a survey on a daily basis as they see what those demands are.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's business, right? So every day is, hey, what's the new thing coming? What should we be paying attention to? What is good for their communities that we serve? How can we do it better? How can we do it cheaper? Absolutely.
My guest again today has been Jeff Erb. We're at the Northwest Ohio Biofuel Summit. Jeff, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
We're going to change directions now, talk a little bit of livestock news, as New World screwworm keeps being detected closer to the U.S. border, not in the United States yet, but the threat is ever present. Officials say it is important to be aware and prepared for the pest and understand how it could affect the animal industry. Deputy Director of New World Screwworm Directorate for the USDA Animal Plant and Health Inspection Service, Chris Needleham, said there is an all-government approach to keep New World screwworm out of the United States. Our number one goal is to keep it out and keep our animals and food supply safe, he said. And while working towards this goal, it's important to constantly be on the lookout for the insect. The pest feeds on living tissue, often through wounds, and if we get one, we'll likely get more than one. Even though it's not contagious animal to animal, we have to have a plan to attack the insect and eradicate the problem. Now, Needham explained the insect will destroy tissue, bone, and ligaments. If left untreated, the animals can die in 7 to 14 days, and newborn animals are particularly susceptible and have almost a 100% death rate if they're infected. Sonia Swanger, professor extension specialist with Texas A&M University, said the flies are generally found more in forested areas and active in clusters. Their best survivability is between 60 and 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Even though a female will only breed once, she can lay between 200 and 300 eggs on a host from that breeding. Target spots for egg laying are in the wounds, the navel, ears, cuts, castration, and dehorning spots, or on areas as small as a ticker flea bite, she said. The New World screwworm fly fly is a little bigger than a housefly, with red or orange colored eyes, a yellow face, and metallic blue or green body. She said the eggs are very small and hard to see when the animals are infested and moving from one place to another. They can spread the pest as larvae moves to the pupae stage. It will drop from the animals and develop into an adult fly on the ground. The entire life cycle of New World screwworm is anywhere from 18 to 21 days. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. A newly launched USDA web resource provides comprehensive data for the public and stakeholders on New World screwworm prevention and detection efforts. USDA's Rod Bain tells us more.
A one-stop resource for information on efforts of the federal government to combat New World screwworm.
We had previously had a resource up on the APHIS website, so this isn't a totally new remake, but what it does is provide stakeholders, producers, state partners access to a one-stop portal where you can see not only the USDA APHIS activities and the work our partners at ARS are doing, but in addition to that, our interagency partners, which have been so critical in this effort to date.
That's Agriculture Department Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, Dudley Hoskins. His mission area oversees the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, which is leading efforts in preventing this invasive pest from entering our country and threatening our nation's livestock supply, particularly cattle. He says www.screwworm.gov includes details ranging from the latest in USDA verified information on NWS cases to U.S. preparedness efforts. Information is available to a wide group of stakeholders, from animal health officials to the general public.
Information, not just what we're doing to combat it related to cattle, but also just the movement of people, companion animals, different protocols and practices, and what we're asking people just to be aware of and help us remain vigilant.
As the undersecretary alluded to earlier, in addition to status on activities conducted by APHIS and the Agricultural Research Service in the realm of study and development, there is information about and updates on
our interagency partners, which have been so critical in this effort to date. FDA with some of their conditional emergency approvals for different treatments. The Department of Interior, we're partnering with them on wildlife surveillance. The U.S. Army Corps, the EPA.
Among several partners in the public and private sectors, joining forces to keep New World screwworm out of our nation. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.